Reading from Sri Radharas, Radharas Sudhanidhi. New verse we're starting today, verse 24. Gatva kalinda tanaya vijanavataram udvartayantyamritam angamananga jivam. Shiradiketava kada navanagarendram Pashyami magna nayanam stitamuchanipa Pashyami magna nayanam stitamuchanipe. Translation. O Sri Radhike, when you go to a lonely place on the bank of the Yamuna, at that time I will massage your nectarian limbs that are the very life of Ananga, Cupid Sri Krishna. While I'm massaging you on the bank of the Yamuna, I will suddenly notice high in the branches of the Kadamba tree that your youthful king of paramours is sitting right above us, immersed at looking at your body, divine form of Srimati Radhika. That's the translation to this verse. And the title I gave to this verse is that the Manjaris catch peeping Shyam. This verse shows the astonishing beauty of Radha, the clever naughtiness of her Priyatam Shyam. You can hear me? Yeah. The clever naughtiness of her Priyatam Shyam and the fortunate position of Swamini's Manjaris. Us, you and I. So I'm saying, what an amazing leela. The Sarva Avatari, Purnatam Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, is now acting like a peeping Tom. Then you might say, what is a peeping Tom? Here's my definition. It is a person who conceals himself in a hidden place in order to spy on another person, especially when they are undressed, or engaged in some confidential activities, quote unquote. In Gita, Krishna says, in 10.8, he says, Aham sarvasya prabhav. Everything comes from me. So even the role of being a peeping Tom begins with God, Krishna, peeping Shyam. There's peeping Tom and peeping Shyam. One is Maya and one is Krishna. Shyam is Krishna. One is okay, one is not okay. So in the first line, it's telling Gatva kalinda tanaya vijanavataram. Gatva, like we say, param gati, the supreme destination. Vaikuntha dham, Goloka dham, Vraja Gokul, Nitina Kunja Leela of Radha and Krishna. Gatva, param gati, going, gone, moving. Gatva kalinda tanaya. Kalinda tani, tanaya means the daughter of the Kalinda mountains, because the originating point of the Yamuna River is a mountain called Kalinda. And as the Himalayas had Parvati for their daughter, then the Kalinda mountain wanted a beautiful daughter and did austerities. And the Kalinda mountain king, he produced as his daughter Tanaya Kalindi, who is dark in color, black in color. Kala means black, Kali Yuga. And she's Kalindi. Her other name is Yamuna. Yamanotri, that mountain is called Kalinda. So here it's Kalinda Tanaya. Vijan Avataram. The first line is establishing the Vibhavudipan, the setting, the place. Where will this pastime, where will this drama, this movie, this leela, this love story, this love anecdote unfold? Where, obviously, in Vrindavan? Where in Vrindavan? Well, you don't need to choose too many places. Somewhere on the bank of the Yamuna, usually, in some kunja, or in the Rasa Mandala, or sometimes in the Van Gamana, wandering in the forest, or here in Radhakund, splashing Manasiganga, Nokobihar, boating pastimes, and Barsana, anywhere leelas are going on, but oftentimes on the banks of the Yamuna. And that's why all the temples are very near the Yamuna, and the Yamuna is flowing very near the temple. The first temple the Yamuna would touch was Madan Mohan, Sanatan Goswami's temple. Yamuna would come in from the north and go right along, right just beside Sevakunj and Nidibandh and all these places. Radharaman, where Radharaman temple is situated right now, that used to be an island in the middle of a lagoon from the Yamuna. Lagoon means there's a main river like this, and then some tributary, there's some cut in inlet or whatever of land like this, like a bay or whatever. So the river goes like this and goes in there, and that's the lagoon, and then the main river is going. So there was the Yamuna, and then connected to the Yamuna, same Yamuna water, was a lagoon, and in the middle of that lagoon was an island, and that island was a tree, and that's where Gopal Bhatta Goswami used to keep Radharaman for safekeeping, so no one would steal him. And he was kept in a basket hanging from the branch of a tree. And he hired some kshatriyas at night with bows and arrows to guard Radharaman. And the arrows were dipped in poison. Poison-tipped arrows. So if they hit anybody, just nicked them, the poison would go in the nick, means small scratch cut. Didn't really hit target, didn't hit him in the heart, otherwise he'd be dead. Can also do that. But if they did that, then no problem, throw in the Yamuna, Haribol. And Gunda disposal system. But even if it nicked him, and they have in their museum, their, which the Goswamis sometimes maybe you can see, they have some of those arrows and that, some of those bows. And then, of course, eventually that land became filled in. The Yamuna moved quite a far away, and history has unfolded like that over the last 500 years. Sometimes people are amazed when they see a picture of Radhakund from 1860 or even 1980. They see photographs on the net all the time, black and white photographs. 1863, Govardhan Hill, Radhakund, or Prikamarg. Have you ever seen? They're on the net. Amazing. The Yamuna is flowing right by Madan Mohan, and there's trees everywhere. Oh, unbelievable. I mean, first time I came here was 40 years ago, 1977. 39, finished and running 40. I moved here in 87, but this is 77. Radhakund and Vrindavan is way different. And my Gurudev first came here in 1920, and he's been here since. And I said, Pandit Sri Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, I said, Gurudev, can you explain how it was then? He said, very, very different. Raman Reti was just a jungle with a couple of sadhus. Anyway, that's a whole other nostalgia to cry about. But it gives energy of hankering. Nostalgia about the beautiful, sweet, glorious past, at least in Vrindavan, gives the sadhaka energy and enthusiasm to enter the beautiful, sweet, variegated future of the Nitya Vrindavan that never gets spoiled by the touch of Kali, because Kali cannot touch Krishna. But Kali is touching this material world, so he's affecting this Boma Vrindavan, but not Nitya Vrindavan. So this is the says first line, is saying, oh, Radhike, you go to a lonely place, so says vijana, vijana. Jana means person, vijana means no other person. So here in the first line of the verse, we establish where is the lila, and who is there? Nobody. Vijana. No people are there. Just the speaker or the Saraswati Pad and Manjri Srup, Avesh, absorbed in his Siddhadeya as a Manjri, and Radharani, and some peeping Tom, who has not been invited, by the way. He has come uninvited. So there's really only two, and the third one is not supposed to be there. So it's a very private setting, and that's what we find from line one, that who is there. And it's a very amazing and beautiful lila to think about or to meditate on, to be so close to Radharani, to be so intimate and have such fortune. And this is the invitation of Prabodhananda Saraswati. This fortune awaits anyone who accepts it. Mahaprabhu will give love of God, prema, to anyone who accepts. He's saying, his hands are like this all the time, so many murtis. Take it. Pradayate. Pradayate means I'm throwing at you. You can say dada, dada, dadami. Dadami means to give. Dado, dadami. When you say pradayate, Krishna prema pradayate. Pradayate means I'm throwing it at you. Take it. No. Later, Jack. Later, Jack, not now. I'm a little busy right now. Can you come back in a half hour? Can you catch me later? I'll catch you on the rebound. It's like now or never. In this human life, attain frame or never. Every guru will tell his shishya, you must attain perfection in this life. Don't think I won't attain perfection, otherwise you can't practice. Oh, I'm so fallen, I'm so low, I'm so lusty, I'm so greedy, I'm so envious, angry. I have so many thousands and 15 million zillion material desires. Okay, you, so me too. You're like me, I'm like you. Now what? Do nothing? Cry? Lament? Complain? So there they are, and that's the first line. Gatva kalinda taniya vijana avataram. And then, so now we have who and where, and it's, then why did Radharani take, oh Manjri, come with me. Who? Me? Like when I ask someone, would you give out this prasadam? I give them a bag of this prasadam. And they'll go like, everyone goes, each one. So now, somehow the Radharani's chosen this Manjri. He says, come, hey Saki, hey Navadasi, come. I want you, let's go to Yamuna. I want you to go with me. And of course, you can imagine if Radharani goes somewhere with a Manjri, that it won't be long before somebody else shows up. And you can imagine, only one guess, who it is. It's not Chatila. And not Kutila, and not Purnamasi, and not Madhavangal, by any means. So that's the first line. And the second line says, Udvarta yanti amritamanga mananga jivam. This is a very special line. Udvartan, if you ever had Ayurvedic treatment done, oftentimes you'll see these terms. Udvartan. Udvartan means malish in Hindi. Malish means massage. Rubbing with oils and powders, or deep muscle massage, all kinds of different terms they have in the modern world. You know, yoga, power massage, and basically some guy or some lady rubs your body, and that's called massage. Now they give so many fancy names to it. You know, shiatsu, acupressure, high energy massage. What? Come on, man, just rub my body. It feels good. Okay, take your 100 rupees. So there, this is the service is going to be done. The Manjri is going to massage Radharani. And how is she being described? Saraswati Pad is saying, it's very beautiful Sanskrit, Amritamangam Ananga Jivam. So he's describing Radharani's divine transcendental form, Srimati Radharani's form. It is Amritam Angam, her Anga, like Tribangi, Gorangi. Angi means limbs, her arms, legs, back, face. All her limbs are amritam. their liquid nectar. So this is a very nice point. How is it that Radha's limbs are being described as nectar? Nectar is generally thought of as some tonic or some energizing drink or some health-giving beverage, amritam. Like soma ras is amritam. We have katamritam also, of course. But generally, amritam means some type of flavor, some type of energizing substance. So here, Radharani's body is described as her angam is made of amritam. And generally, bodies are made of solids. Radharani's body is made of liquid ras. And this is, other places, Radharani's form is described as Madhuri Rasa Angam, or Madhuri Rasa Murti. A little inconceivable. Radharani's body is made of ras, it's made of Madhurya, it's made of Mahabhav. But these are the beautiful poetic terms that the Acharyas use to try to give us some, to broaden and expand our minds to understand that it's a whole lot different here. Everything about we have bodies and we have relationships, man and woman, and intimacies, but there's so much difference between not only the forms of the players, but the play that they engage in, and the contents of the lovers' hearts, and the idea and the motivation. Everything is different. It's just the opposite. That's why Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is telling in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the prema of Krishna and his beloved gopis is like gold. And our so-called most beautiful, pure, sweet, quote-unquote, selfless love affairs or love relationships are like iron. They can't compare any in value. In quality or quantity or value, they can't compare. So this Radha's divine transcendental form is liquid nectar, sweetness, Madhuri Rasa Murti Sri Radha. And whenever Shyam sees Swamini's beautiful form, he freely and sumptuously and eagerly drinks the nectar of Priyaji's golden form with the cups of his thirsty eyes. These are some of my comments when I was preparing for this class. I was in bliss. I'm not so much in bliss now, right now. I'm tired. Whenever Shyam sees his Swamini Radha, he freely and sumptuously drinks the liquid nectar, Amritamangam, and eagerly drinks Priyaji's golden form with the cups of his thirsty eyes, Amritamangam. So what is that nectar stream that gushes from Gaurangi's sweet golden limbs? It is a supreme life-giving amrit of Mahabhav Unat Ujvala Ras. That is why Radharani is called Mahabhav Sarupini. So here, the entire form of Radharani is Purna Amritamangam, is made of ras. So the question here we have: who and what and where? Who, the Manjris and Radharani? Where? They're in the banks of the Yamuna in a private place. No one's around. Nirjana, Vijana. No other people. Very lonely place. Inside a kunj, all surrounded by walls and canopy of leaves from the overhanging branches of the kadamba trees. On the four corners of the kunja, there's kadamba. Then there's bushes and flowering vines everywhere. It's a totally hidden, concealed area. There's a bamboo, a lattice door made of bamboo with all kinds of fragrant flowers and a small window in it. All bees are hovering around. All kinds of bees are hovering around the flower window. The window of that door has the door into the kunj made of bamboo. There's so many fragrant, very sweet, fragrant flowers, and all the honeybees are buzzing, and they're acting as the chokidars, and they're guarding, and they're just buzzing around, drinking nectar with one eye, and one eye keeping on looking for the intruders. and they're drinking the flowers. And then if some intruder comes, because a lot of bees can really, really take care of you. We once had a yatra with some Russians about, it's been a while now, about 7-8 years ago. And they asked me to take them, everyone around during the Gaur Pranim time. Devotees come to Vrindavan. So about 300 devotees. We went to Varsana. And then we had our breakfast, was scheduled to be in Radha Bagicha. It's a very beautiful bagicha, beautiful trees there at the base of the Varsana hill of Radharani's palace. And there's a well there, a very ancient well from Radharani's time. Very sweet water there. So it's between Onchaga and Lalita's Janamstan and Varsana on the south side of that dirt road. Near the palace of Radha, it's called Radha Bagicha, which means Radha's garden. It's a big area, very nice. And some sadhu babajis live there. And gopis from Varsana, 5,000 years ago and even today, they come to that well and they collect water and they put on pots, one pot, two pots, three pots, and they walk all the way up the hill carrying that sweet water for Larali Radha and Sham, Larali Lal, for their bath, for Radharani's bath, and for drinking and cooking sweets for Krishna. It's very sweet water, very nice water. So it's a beautiful place, and hand pump, nice water, take breakfast. All the boys sitting down, leave plates and breakfast. And one, because it's all Russian devotees, and they're pretty big people, you know, the kind of big forms they have. And then one lady was maybe too big, but somehow she was walking or got too much mahaprasad or something, and she was kind of lost her balance, and she hit some tree. She kind of hit it, but she was heavier than the tree. So she is big, you know. So then so the tree went whoa, like that. And there's a bee's nest up there in the tree with about 5 million honeybees. It was really huge. And Radharaman, Swami, Radha Govinda's brother from Bihar, Indian sannyasi, Radharaman. And he came along because he likes to hear my guitar. I mean, he himself takes everyone all around in ISKCON's Kartik Churasikosh Prikama. But he came along because we're old friends. I said, why are you coming? You know all these things. Now I want to hear it. Okay. So we were together. He's always with Lokanath Swami usually, Radharaman, a very thin, nice sannyasi. Knows so much Shastra, so much Leela. English less, but Hindi very nice, and Sanskrit. And English, okay. So we were in line, and then we were eating prasad, you know, some peta. It's made of pumpkin, you know, like sugar, looks like chewy, sugary thing, like kind of lime green in color. It's made from boiled pumpkin and then put it in sugar syrup, and then it gets crystallizes, and it's really tasty. It's not exactly healthy, but it's tasty. So everyone's taking their prasad, and then this lady goes, ow, ow, ow. And she had this really kind of, you know, weird kind of hair. It's kind of wiry type. You know, some people have straight hair and some people have wiry type, you know. So the bees, apparently it's not funny, but, you know, a lot of people at first were laughing, but she was... The bees were attacked her, and they thought she was some big white bear from Siberia or something. You know, they have bears there in Siberia, so they thought she was a Siberian bear, and it probably could have, you know, doubled for that. But and they said, hey, you know, and they were after her, and you know, the swarm of bees thing. And so she was So she, there were some, several rows spread around here and there. It was a big garden, so the ladies were there, and men were over there, and we were just sitting with the men. So she was, I looked and I saw, I don't know what's going on. I said, what's going on? Because my eyes aren't very good. I don't wear gloves. And he said, oh, there's a bunch of bees chasing that lady. And he said, she's coming over here, because we're the organizers. And so he said, quick, bend down and cover your head with your chadar. You know, usually you have a chadar, you know, a sannyas uttariya, a sannyas. So he bent down. I said, why are we doing this? He said, because of the bee, because he's from the village, you know. He said, the bees see your face, they look for your eyes. And they see your face, they'll sting you. So cover your face. And they'll just think you're some bump or whatever, you know, a log or whatever. I mean, they can land on your arm, you know, shirt or something. Well, now they do that also. But he said, first they look for the face. So we're bent down, and so I'm down. And Lee said, help, help. Or whatever, in Russian, or whatever he said, I don't know, whatever, something. It was obvious. But I said, just sit down, don't run. You know, I went like that. And she thought I meant, you know, I went like that. I said, you know, sit down, because then, you know, and do like this when I was trying to explain to her. She goes, and she thought I meant, you know, be an ecstatic kirtan or something. So she raised her hands and started running like more, you know, because they're biting her. And then she ran, and she was running all around. Wherever she went, the 10 million bees went with her and started biting everybody. Oh, it was a holocaust. It was really a holocaust. I mean, we had to send a whole bus of people back to Vrindavan. About 70 devotees got stung to bits, you know, really bad. And I got some stings in my butt, you know, because I have kind of a thin dhoti, you know, just a butt. I mean, it was the most unbelievable thing. So, I said, Radharaman, what are you doing under your cheddar? He said, I'm taking breakfast. I said, how can you keep? He said, I'm taking prasadam. I said, how can you eat in a time like this? He said, we got to eat. We have to have a whole day of parikrama. So I said, okay, and I just went like this. And I had my muli, you know, my puffies, some puffies and a banana. And I just hear outside of me, everywhere screaming. And we're eating this, you know, we're eating this puffies, you know. Because what are we supposed to do? I said, shouldn't we do something? So what can we do? Just at least eat something, you know. So, I mean, I like to be, you know, a hero and everything, but. You know, what are you supposed to do with 5 million enemies this big? I mean, 5 million enemies this big, you know, and you go like that and they fly faster than your hand moves, you know. I mean, it's one of unlimited experiences we've had. It's bittersweet. It's funny if you're not there. If you're there. Once when we were eating, I lifted up his cheddar because I didn't know what he was doing. I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And you're chanting. And I lift. He said, no, I'm eating. So I said, okay, and I just joined him. So this is the Amrit Angam of Radharani is so sweet that the bumblebee-like eyes of Krishna cannot stop but drinking the nectar of Radharani's Amritam Angam. As Krishna's eyes are often compared to bumblebees, and Radharani's face is like a blossoming Swarna Kamala Utphala. Swarna Kamala Utphala. A blossoming golden lotus flower is the description of Radharani's face. And Krishna's eyes often times compared to thirsty bumblebees. They want to drink the liquid nectar from Radharani's face. So that's, here is Amritam Angam Ananga Jivam. What he's saying here, he's presenting, line one just tells us, someone has gone to the banks of the Yamuna. Someone has gone there with maybe alone or with someone. And when they got there, someone's getting massage. And someone's body, Angam, is nectar. Now we have the Vibhav, Prema Shraya, the heroine of the Leela, Radharani, has been introduced. Here, Radharani's name is not Radhika or Priyaji or Nagari Mani or Nagari, or so many beautiful names, Kishori, Radharani has. But here her name is Amritam Angam. Her name is Amritam Angam. So everywhere, these rasic kavis, these very tasteful, premi poets, they have beautiful ways of presenting Radha and Krishna, because their meditation and their aspiration and their object of service is always Radha Govinda Yugal, or Radha and Krishna together. So here they always bring the divine couple together. Like a painter, when he's painting, he paints Krishna, then he'll paint Radha. So on that piece of canvas, you will see the manifestation of Krishna. Then after some days, then Radha. Because they, on that painting, you will have to bring them together. They'll have to be Radha and Krishna. So in poetry, you're not painting with tempura or whatever they call it, those acrylic or whatever these paintings are, oil or acrylics. You're painting pictures with words and poetic phrases and meter, chandas, music and meter. Meter means the, chandas means the music of the language, the balance, the rhythm, the rising and falling syllables and interrelation of the sandhis and many things involved in the Sanskrit language, which is far beyond my conception. But to make it sweet and flowing, that's why there's so many different meters. This is Shardula Vikridita and Vasant Tilaka and so many. In this one book, Radharasudaniti, there is 12 different meters, 12 different melodies of the verses. It's amazing. So this one is very much like sounding like Brahma Samhita. Gatva kalinda tanaya vijanavataram udvartayantya amritam mangamana amritam angamananga jivam amritam angamananga jivam. They must so much enjoy watching these beautiful poetic forms and creations manifest from the end of their stylus as they etch it into a green palm leaf. The palm leaf, when it's green, it's soft, and then it gets dry and gets hard and catches the image, etched with what they call a stylus. They carve it into the leaf. Amritamanga vananga jivam. So here, Radharani, on one side is Radha, the other side is Krishna. So Radharani is Amritam Angam, and Krishna is Anangam Jivam. Ananga means Cupid. Anga means body, and Ananga means no body. Cupid lost his body. There's a whole pastime like that. And so here it says Jivam. Jivam means the life. This is Krishna's life. Krishna's life is Ras. Krishna lives for Ras. He lives by love. Love is the what we offer to Krishna. He doesn't need our pizza. He doesn't need our food or anything we offer. He doesn't need the water. He needs our love. Twice he says in that verse in 9:26 of Gita, Patram Pushvam Phalam Tayam, Bhakti, Prayachati, Bhakti. He said Bhakti. Twice he says, give me your love, give me your love. We give so many things to Krishna, but we don't give him our love. We save that for ourselves or someone or whatever. But he's only asking for that. And he says, man mana bhava. Give me your feelings, your thoughts. I have everything else, but I'm short on love. I'm love thirsty. He has unlimited appetite for love. So here Krishna is called the Ananga Jivam, and he's the master. Oh, excuse me, I wrote the master of rasic kavi, the connoisseur of rapturous divine poetry. The connoisseur of rapturous divine poetry, Prabodhananda Saraswati. He describes Rasarani and Rasaraj Sri Krishna in a most amazing way. Amritam Angam Ananga Jivam. He says the beautiful body of Radharani, which is nectar, is the life, gives life. Because what is Amritam? In Ayurveda, milk, dudh is called dudhamritam, dudhamritam. Milk is called amrit. And as you know, it's said like this, bachabhav bhudabhav ek saman. This is a Hindi phrase. Bachabhav bhudabhav ek saman. That the mood and idea and thoughts and position of a baby and an old man, Buddha means old man, and a baby is saman, it's equal, the same. And in English they'll say that milk is good for babies and old men. So milk, babies live on milk, that's it, that's how they grow. And old men, when all their teeth fall out and they can't chew anything, they drink a little milk to get by. So this is what they say. Bacha Buddha Bhavik Saman. Very nice phrase. So this Amritam for Krishna, Krishna's Amrit. Amrit means something that sustains life. Amritam can give life to a dead person. In the eighth canto of Bhagavatam, it shows that when the devas were fighting the demons, and then Shukracharya is the guru of the demons, and he's a great vaidya. He knows all kinds of potions and rasas and tonics and amrit nectar tonics. So he had a swimming pool of amrit. And when his soldiers would get their chopped off arms and legs or heads or whatever, he would take their bodies and throw them in the swimming pool. It's an eighth canto of Bhagavatam. And it was made of some kind of nectar, amritam. And then they would get their arms back and they become youthful again and get a new body practically and go fight with renewed energy with a brand new body, the same jiva. So this is what we call fountain of youth. Navayovanam Sri Krishna ki jai. Navayovanam, Krishna alone is ever fresh and young. How fresh and young? Krishna never gets older than 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days. This is the exact figure given in Sadhana Amrita Chandrika, a Bengali book by Siddhakrishnadas Babaji from Manasiganga, written in 1890. So Krishna is 15, 9, 7.5. Like we met some family the other day, and their daughter, Russian people, and I said, how old is your daughter? And they were telling her to speak English. She said, I am 5. And then she thought, and she said, no, I'm 5.5. 5.5, that and half is very important, 5.5. 5.5 years old. I said, oh, that's serious. I went like this. So Krishna is 15 years, 9 months, 7.5 days. And what's Radharani? How old is Radharani? 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days. 14.2.15. 14.2.15. If you want to do it that way. This will be on your exam, so you better make note of this one. Actually, today's the final. Are you ready? Amritam, I'm too much, when I read this verse, I got lost. The whole scenery is so amazing. It's so amazing. And so another humorous, I thought we should end on a very humorous note, a very sweet and humorous note. I mean, our Krishna is so naughty. He's just a naughty village boy doing whatever he can to get with this beautiful girl. Directly or indirectly or privately or overtly or covertly or any way he can be with her. He's just madly in love with her. It's like the most beautiful love affair that could ever unfold before your eyes. And all these verses are different chapters and different parts of the love affair. I mean, Romeo and Juliet. I said, great, no doubt, it's great. Shakespeare was one of the greatest writers of the times that we know in our English language, although it's not ancient English, but he's a master of emotion and literature and writing and an extraordinary personality, no doubt empowered by God. And all respect to him. But I'm not worshiping Romeo and Juliet. I'm worshiping Radha and Krishna. And he didn't write about them. He didn't know about them. Or at least he had some idea. Because certainly that's a reflection of the original to some extent. I can't but be. But now when the personal associates of Radharani and Krishna are writing about them, what could be more revealing about Radha and Krishna's love affairs than her own best girlfriends? If your husband wants to really know about his wife, if he could ever bribe her girlfriend, then he could find out. But that would be a pretty... Anyway, don't we get into that. So, Amritam Angam Ananga Jivam. This is Radharani is like this. So much she gives life to the one without a body. So she's, because Ananga means no body. So according to Puranas, the god of lust, there's a story in the Puranas you must be knowing. The god of lust, Kamadev, tried to create lust in the great Yogeshwara, Siddhi Yogi, Shankar, Lord Shiva. But what happened? It backfired and Kamadev, lust personified Kamadev, he got burned to ashes by the Tapabalam of the Siddhi Yogi, Shankar. He was extinguished. The fire of... I wrote this point, I thought it was nice. Just by a glance. So the fire of lust was destroyed by the fire of tapasya. Very interesting. Because the word in Sanskrit, tap, T-A-P, means fire. That sandhi means fire, heat. So that's why we say, oh, it's ekadasi, I'm doing some... Tapasya, you must have heard that term, tapasya. It means to do austerity, to deny yourself of eating or drinking water for 36 hours or whatever it might be, at least 24, sunrise to sunrise, and maybe longer. That's the period of ekadasi. But maybe you start before that even, not drinking water or eating. So it becomes 32 hours or 35 hours, it can be like this. So while the body is denied food and water, then the jataragni, the fire digestion, starts heating up your body and burning up sinful reactions. So this is tapasya. So Shiva is a great tapasvi, siddha yogi. So his tapabalam means the strength of tapasya. You must have heard this term also, tapabalam. Bala means strength of tapasya. By doing tapa, by performing austerities, you get power. What type of power? Mind control. You get mental power to control the senses. Without a strong mind, you can't control the senses. So how do you develop a strong mind? By denying the senses. Because the master of the senses is the mind. And usually he's a servant of the senses because they're more powerful. But when you engage in austerities, then the mind gains power over the senses and the senses have to submit. The more austerities you perform, the more powerful your mind gets, and the more power and ability you have to be determined in controlling your senses. That's the meaning of yogi. So what to speak of your perfected yogi, a siddha yogi, like Lord Shiva. So his tapabalam, his fire of austerity defeated the fire of lust. Kamagni. On one side there's Kamagni of Kamadev, the fire of lust. On the other side, there's tapagni. Tapagni means the fire of austerities. In the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, Lord Rishabhadev, he's telling his sons, they're princes. They're the Yuvaraj. They will be the next. They're the next kings. So he told his 100 sons who were spiritually inclined. He said, "Tapo divyam putrakayena satvam shudyat yashmad brahmasokyam tonantam." He said, "Tapo divyam putrakayena satvam." Hey Putra, hey my son, hey my beloved son. Tapo divyam putrakayena satvam. When you do tapa, what type of tapa am I going to tell you about? Dibyam. Tapo dibyam. Not just fasting for 14 days on grape juice in the mountains, or 21 day honey lemon fast, or you name it, I've done it. Wheatgrass juice for 3 months, nothing else. This is in the 70s when I was like weird, you know, before I met Prabhupada. When I was a weird bogus yogi. And then Prabhupada said, no, you have to be a bhakti yogi. Take halava. Take sweet rice. Take halava. Take puris. Take kofta balls. Take cheese sabji. Chant this mantra. Dance in kirtan. Sell my books. Now be a yogi. A very interesting kind of yogi. Seems to be a very thin line between yogi and bogi. Bogi is a sense enjoyer and a yogi is a sense denier. One's denying, one's indulging. A sense indulger and a sense denier. So he's told his sons, he do divine austerities, Janmastami tapasya, and then Ekadasi tapasya, Chaturmasya. This is divine because it's self-control and self-sense denial for the pleasure of the divyam, the kamadev, the divya kamadev, the divine, for Bhagavan. Spiritual austerities. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shudyad yashmad brahmasam sokyam. Sattvam shudyad. He says, by this you become sattvic. By austerities, you because you're a king's son, you're full of rajagun. I have 200 queens, you want to have 300. You have so many desires to enjoy. You're my son, you're a king, you're a kshatriya, it's natural. It's your sabhav, it's your guna and karma lakshana. It's the nature of your karma. But you should do austerities. Otherwise you'll be bound in the samsara. Because Rishabhadeva himself was a great king, but he was a great devotee. He's one of the Mahajans. He's one of the great Mahajans, Rishabhadeva. So he said, do this. Then you'll become sattva. Now you're raja. You're rajagun. You'll become sattva. Shanti. Shantiman. Peaceful. Self-controlled. Satisfied. Internally satisfied. And then sattvam shudyat. You'll be pure. And cultivate this sattva gun. You'll become pure mind and pure vision. And pure desiring. And pure feeling. And then anantam anantasukh. You'll experience by that, the result of all that will be unlimited happiness. What type of happiness? Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam. Not ordinary material happiness produced by sense stimulation, but the happiness of realizing Brahman. Brahman means Brahmananda, but Para Brahman means Premananda, to realize Krishna. So we as devotees, we also do austerities. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, inspired by Lord Chaitanya, he wrote this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya Nija Bhakti Yoga. He says, those devotees that worship you, Lord Chaitanya, and worship Radha and Krishna, by nature they're detached. Vairagya Nija. Vidya, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti. They have knowledge, they have bhakti gyan, they know the bhakti tattva, and they're renounced. And this is the way they worship you with their knowledge and detachment. And this is the way they worship Radha and Krishna. So this is the power of Lord Shiva, is that he defeated, by his power of tapabalam, he defeated lust. So I have a small note on that because there's a whole point here about the whole verse. It says, Amritamangam Ananga Jivam. So Radharani's Amritamangam, her nectarine, beautiful, rasa-filled body and divine form, is the very life for Krishna. It's the jivam, it's the actual life for Krishna. Radharani's love, her Madanakya Mahabhav, her form, her nam, her rup, her gun, her lila, everything is, it gives the very life to Krishna. And Krishna here is called Ananga. Because when you chant Kam Gayatri, so many of you have taken Diksha from your guru, you get Gopa Mantra Kam Gayatri, you chant Ananga every day. 10 times, 100 times, whatever, how many times you chant your mantra. Right? Tanno Nanga. Tanno Ananga. Tanno Nanga. Nanga means Ananga. So he's the Kamadeva. He's the transcendental Kamadeva. So this lust or selfishness in any of its forms, selfish desire or selfish actions, is the worst enemy of a devotee. Shukadeva Goswami, in a Bhagavatam, which we discussed before, He compared lust. He said lust is like a disease. Anybody have disease here? I've met some people that are 14 and are really diseased. 16 are really diseased. They look really good. They look really healthy. But if you open up their cranium and look inside their brain, you see it's full of lust. So this is, he says, Ridrogam, Kamam Ridrogam. In 10:33:39 of Bhagavatam, he says, Kamam Ridrogam. He says, this selfish desire, this lust is a rogue. Rogue means disease. Ridrogam, and he says, what's the cure? The cure is hearing Krishna's Ras Lila. Hear about Krishna's lusty affairs with the gopis, which just seem like lust. They appear like that. It's described very much detail in the Krishna book. Krishna puts his arms around the gopis and he touches their thighs and he touches their breasts. It's not a waltz. It's quite intimate. That's indicative of the type of direction of what their relationship is in the Ras Lila. So he's after concluding that, he's telling Parikshit Maharaj, he said, this is the crown of all pastimes, because the greatest disease in the material world is this and this only. It is lust. And Sukadeva Goswami is telling that if you hear this Ras Lila with faith from the mouth of the Guru and from the realized devotees, Shadanvita, then Bhakti Param Labhyate, that this Vrindavan Madhurya Ras comes inside the heart, and then first comes the prem, and first comes the medicine, then goes the disease. He says this is Oshadi. Harikata, this Ras Lila, or this Madhurya Kata, this is what Ras Lila and what we're discussing, these subjects are the same quantity, the same level. So these topics are like a great Oshadi, a great medicine. That medicine comes in the ears and saturates our hearts. The more we read it and the more we hear it, and then that medicine dries out the disease. When you're sick, it's not first you're sick and then you're sick, you take the medicine, it dries out the disease. First the medicine goes, then the disease goes, right? So here the medicine is hearing Krishna's Ras Lila. That's what he's telling. You should hear this Ras Lila. And Prabhupada himself, it says in the purport in Krishna book, one should hear the Ras Lila. And he's saying, what? He said, materialistic men who are affected by the disease of lust, they should hear this Ras Lila. Although the mundane Cupid, god of love, is bodiless, he's called Ananga. The Ananga here refers to Krishna. So I discuss most of this. But, oh yeah, that when Amrita Angam, Shri Radha, she gives life to Ananga Jivam Krishna. But when Krishna is away from Radha, then his body practically burns up in the fire of separation. Because the word here is Ananga Jivam. That Krishna he's Ananga, which means he has no body. Because Kamadeva got burned up into ashes. And then he became known as Ananga because he had no body, but he was still creating mischief in the world by inciting people with lust. He didn't have his flower bow and his flower arrows, but he just had his prabhav and influence. And finally he did some austerity. Or I think Rati, his wife, did some austerity and got a body back, Kamadev. But Krishna is known as Ananga, so when he's with Radharani, then he's alive. Then he has life. But when he's separated from Radharani, as the fire of Shiva burned up Cupid and he became Ananga, so then Krishna burns in the fire of separation from Radharani, then he becomes Ananga. You got it? Ananga Jivam. So this is my idea that came out. So with Radha, he has life. Ananga has life. And without Radha, he has no life. When Krishna sees, hears, or meets with Radha, he regains his body and life. Ananga Jivam. Amritamanga, Ananga Jivam. Instead of saying Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, you say Amritamangam, that's Radha. Amritamangam, Ananga Jivam. So outside of Vrindavan, Krishna is known as Krishna, Dwarkadish, Arjuna, Sakha, Pandava, Bandhu, etc. But here in Vrindavan, Krishna is called, what do we call Krishna? A Prakrita Madan Mohan. He's a Prakriti. A Prakriti means transcendental Madan Mohan. He's a transcendental attractor of Cupid. And the gopis call him Sakshat Manmata Manmata. Because Cupid, or lust, he spins our minds. Mata means to churn. So Mathura means place where they churn butter. Mathura. So Manmata, Man means mind. Sakshat, Krishna is directly Sakshat Manmata Manmata. He churns the mind of the person who spins everybody's mind. Everybody's mind is spinning by the effect of Kamadev, lust. Mr. Lust. Cupid. He depicted as a little innocent little cherub, little boy, little bow. He should be like, have fangs and claws. He's like a little demon. You know? But they make him look so sweet. He's like fluttering in the air like a little butterfly with little white wings. You know? Krishna is this Divya Kamadev. So Krishna is Kaviraj. And all of our, of course, he's also a Manjari, so he has his favoritism. Krishna is Kaviraj. He says that Krishna can attract everyone. That's why we chant Kam Gayatri. He said, "Oh Kamadev, you know, you have five arrows, so shoot your, oh Kamadev Sri Krishna, shoot your five arrows at me. The arrow of your form, the arrow of your fragrance, the arrow of your voice, the arrow of your touch, the arrow of your taste, the taste of your lips, the taste of your tambul, the taste of your prasadam. Just cast your five arrows, your panchabhan at me." That's why we're chanting. We're praying, "Oh Kamadev, Kling Kamadevaya." And then you know the how it goes. And so Pushpabana. Bana means arrow. Push means flower. There's five of them. So the Rupam. And Ganda, then Shabda, then Sparsha, then Rasam. Form and smell. Form and smell and sound and touch and taste. So this, the material Cupid is shooting his arrows, making us go to Maya. And we're meditating, "Oh, Kamadev, please," like usually the minimum one we'll chant will be 10 times a day, but generally the Kam Gayatri, gurus will say chant more, one round, two rounds, three rounds. Because it's specifically this mantra, Kam Gayatri, is meant for Madhurya, Madhurya Rati, Madhurya Rasya Upasakas. You're chanting Gopal mantra, Kling Krishnaya Govindaya, like that. That mantra is open-ended. It can be applicable to Vatsalya Ras or Sakhi Ras or Madhura. But when you talk Ananga and Kamadev, that mantra is only applicable and only directed towards and only valuable for and producing the cultivation and expansion of Madhurya Ras, conjugal loving feelings towards Radha and Krishna. It's called Madhura Rati. Sometimes many gurus, they may just only give Gopal mantra, not Kam Gayatri. We even see that in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But this is, of all the mantras that we receive in Diksha, this is the most valuable and most important. And we should chant more of this, because it actually helps cultivate the soul's relationship with Krishna in Madhura Ras. So if someone is interested in Gopi Bhav, or being Radharani's Manjari, then this Kam Gayatri is very anukulya for their bhajan. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and many rounds of Kam Gayatri with proper meaning and understanding as received from Guru or your own realizations. So Krishna's Kaviraj says, yes, Krishna is so beautiful and so all attractive. He can attract Cupid, he can defeat Cupid. But then he himself is defeated by Radharani. So he has a nice verse where he says, because everyone says Krishna is Madan Mohan, Radha Sange Yarabati Tad Madan Mohan, Anyata Vishwa Mohan Pi, Swayam Marna Mohan. He says Krishna radiates in Radha's association. Radha Sange Yarabati, he's very effulgent and he's really beautiful and so attractive. He looks like Madan Mohan. He's so enchanting, he can enchant Cupid. But when he's not with Radharani, then he becomes enchanted by Cupid. He himself burns in the fire of lust. I mean, I really kind of got carried away in this line 3. Because I too much like this line. Amritamangam Ananga Jivam. So without Radha, Krishna burns in the fire of Cupid or lust and separation, ananga. But when Krishna contacts Radha's beautiful divine body, he becomes revived. So Radha's nectarine body and limbs, Amritamangam, gives life to Cupid, the bodiless one, ananga jivam Sri Krishna. But to hear it again, basically, you're there massaging Radharani on the banks of the Yamuna and your Manjari Sarup, and it's very beautiful. And how are you? Because we didn't answer the question how. We answered who, what, when, where, why. How are you massaging Radharani? So you must be massaging Radharani by remembering the touch of Krishna, because sometimes Krishna catches the Manjaris or he embraces them or he fondles them. Those descriptions are there in Govinda Lilamrita and other places. So you know directly what Krishna's touch is like. So when you're massaging Radharani, the Manjari will meditate, how would Krishna touch Radharani? When Indra used to dress Krishna, because he used to dress Krishna, and Mukunda Datta, or whatever, Mukunda Das, whatever his name is, devotee in Vrindavan, Mukunda Datta, I think so. Two of them, Indra would only dress Krishna, not Radha, and Mukunda would dress Radha. This was the system. And so Indra would tell me, I said, what's your secret? Because everyone's so crazy about the way you dress. He said, I'm just meditating that how would Radharani dress Shyam? How would Radharani dress if she was, how would she paint his face? How would she paint his back of his hand? Which necklace would she use? I've just prayed to Radharani at every step. Okay, the outfit is already designated. The head bajari says this color on this day. So then Indra has no choice of which outfit. But the decorations and how to tie the knots and the kummerbund, which color kummerbund and how to tie it, which way that way. So all these things he would pray and meditate to do it exactly like Shamsundar. So he just became an instrument. As Krishna says in Gita, nimitta matram. Nimitta matram. Arjuna, become an instrument in my hands. Do what I want. Just act as I would act. Shoot your arrows as I would shoot. And be courageous as I would be courageous. I'll drive the chariot, you simply shoot. That's life itself. Let Krishna drive our chariot, and we simply act. We act according to the dictates of our sabhav, our devotional sabhav, which has been created by Guru Kripa. And Krishna is the driver and the chariot of our body. Mana Ratena and Sharira Ratena. So this is the beautiful verse here that the Manjari is massaging and Radharani just like Krishna. So she's totally absorbed in thinking of Krishna. The Manjari is just thinking, I'm Krishna and I'm massaging Radharani's body. How lovingly, how tenderly, how affectionately, how carefully Krishna would rub and massage Radharani's body. So therefore Radharani will feel so relaxed and so satisfied and so pleased. So now the Manjari is absorbed in massaging Radharani. Manjari is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. It should be in Krishna consciousness. So the Manjari is massaging Radharani. I mean, she has two consciousnesses, Radha consciousness and Krishna consciousness. But she, at this point, she's bhav tadapya with Krishna, with his bhav, because she wants to massage Radharani. The Manjari wants to massage Radharani's body with the feelings, because it's not what you do that counts, it's how you do what you do. And how you do means the feelings behind it, the bhav, the emotions, the involvement. Your hands are involved, your body's involved, but is your mind involved? Is your heart involved? That's called immersion. That's called absorption. That's called union. That's called real love. So the Manjaris have that type of love and union and immersion in Radha. Bhav Tadatmya. So at this moment, they want to be Bhav Tadatmya with Krishna. And they know Krishna more than any other Sakhi. Because they know Krishna as Radha knows Krishna. They feel Krishna as Radha feels Krishna. Lalita and Vishakha, they love Krishna. And they feel Krishna, and they feel his heart, but not like Radharani. She's supreme. And the Manjaris are her shadow, so they feel the same. So the Manjaris massaging, just thinking, how would Shyam do it? And all of a sudden, while she's absorbed in Krishna consciousness and massaging Radharani, she glances up in the top of the Nipa tree, a Nipa Kadamba, and the Kaila Kadamba tree, are Krishna's up there, his eyes are like this. As big as you can imagine. You're like, wow, what am I seeing? Such perfection, such beauty. My cherished object of love, my Radharani. And he's all eyes, his whole persona is turned into eyes to admire Radharani's Ananga Amritam. Ananga Amritam, her nectarian, beautiful, divine form. And then the mantri looks, and then Krishna communicates with his eyes to the mantri's eyes. Shh, let me enjoy these moments. Peeping Tom, peeping Sham. Peeping Tom, peeping Sham. Oh, Sham. So now the mantri is privy to such an amazing, her hands are touching Radharani, her heart is touching Krishna's heart, her mind is absorbed in Krishna, she's seeing Krishna. How many emotions are arising in the heart of the mantri? This is why this mantri bhava upasana is so satisfying, so fulfilling. Because at one juncture of time, you're absorbed in three different levels of emotions. You're absorbed in Radharani's emotions, Krishna's, and your own. Subjective experience, because we're not yet fully absorbed. We don't have a pure siddhadeya and a pure bhavas. Then we'll just be totally one. Then we really will be tad bhavatmya. But now we're still, there's some observer aspect to our absorption and meditation, the subjective aspect. But the level of prema, there's a total annihilation of ego and indifference. We become one. That's why we heard earlier, Radha and Krishna are ekatma do sharir. They're one in atma, but two in form. So the mantri at the point of prema becomes one in atma with Radharani. That's the fullest meaning of bhava tadatmya. So that's why when one meditates or one prays and chants and enters into these leelas and meditates, it's such a totally absorbing, satisfying, fulfilling experience. And that's the whole idea of these classes and this whole presentation, is to invite everyone to dive deep into all the treasure ocean of love and ride those beautiful waves of loving absorption that are possible if we try. If you have a taste, and you have an interest, and you're sincere and pure, then you can try, and you'll be blessed, and you'll have great experiences by the mercy of Sri Guru and Sri Radha and Krishna. Radhara Suranidhi Ki Jai. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.